This podcast covers all things health, your body, your brain, and your well-being. Each week, we'll be joined by doctors, as well as the occasional guest, to talk about the health topics that mean the most to you.
Kathy, today we're talking about a 24-year-old graduate student with no past medical history. He presents today with an abrupt left-sided facial weakness and difficulty closing his left eye. He says that he went to sleep last night after working in the library, denies any fever, chills, or night sweats. He did notice a mild pain behind his left ear yesterday, but he was thinking he had a bug bite or something. He goes to school in Florida and does not spend much time outside. He uses alcohol and legal cannabis sparingly. He's sexually active with a number of female partners and usually does not use any barrier methods of contraception. He does not use illicit drugs or cigarettes, and he takes no medications. On examination, he has a left facial droop, an asymmetric smile, and diminished forehead creases. When asked to close his eyes, his right eye is normal, but his left eye remains 30% open.
Here is a quick word from our sponsor.
We take this few seconds off to inform you, our valued loyal listener, about the best health and fitness podcast shows. From the Nespod Studios. Join us as we give you the best of the best health and wellness updates you can rely on for the treatment of chronic health problems. Classic functional medicine back to basics health tips and special updates from the best doctors in the United States of America. Check out this health and wellness podcast shows. Explore Health Talk Weekly, Healthy Lifestyle Matters, Excellent Health Digest, Healthy and Free Daily, and last but not least, Weekly Health and Fitness Corner. Also, check out Nasty Boy CC, the truest story never told fiction podcast, for that real life on the go experience with the 27-year-old golden boy, who made our guest invite number one list. He tells us about his story as it happens in real time and in real life. It's Nasty Boy CC, the truest story never told. Go get a load of that happiness, because happiness is healthy as we know it. Join us every week as we continue to provide you the best of health and fitness wellness updates from around the globe. Enjoy the show.
This sounds like acute Bell's palsy.
I'm listening. Tell me more.
Okay, remember, the seventh cranial nerve innervates the face. Bell's palsy is the most common cause of facial paralysis and involves a unilateral facial nerve palsy. The onset of Bell's palsy is fairly abrupt, with maximal weakness typically being attained by about the 48-hour mark. Pain behind the ear may precede the paralysis for a day or two, which is, it sounds like, what happened in our patient. And taste sensation may be lost unilaterally, and hyperacusis may also be present.
Do we need more testing, or can we just call this Bell's?
The diagnosis can usually be made clinically in patients who have the typical presentation, no risk factors or pre-existing symptoms for other causes of facial paralysis, an absence of any cutaneous lesions of herpes zoster in the external ear canal, and a normal neurologic examination with the exception of the facial nerve. Approximately 80% of patients will recover within a few weeks or months, and this sounds like a typical case.
Okay, well, the question is asking, which of the following pathologic entities is the most common cause of his findings? So it's getting at the underlying cause of his Bell's palsy. The options are A, a cerebral neoplasm, B, herpes simplex type 1, C, Lyme disease, D, trauma, or E, varicella zoster virus.
The best answer is B, HSV-1, but varicella zoster is also a good answer. In acute Bell's palsy, there's inflammation of the facial nerve with mononuclear cells consistent with an infectious or immune cause. HSV type 1 DNA has frequently been detected in endoneural fluid and posterior auricular muscle, suggesting that a reactivation of this virus in the geniculate ganglion may be responsible for most cases. Reactivation of VZV is also associated with Bell's palsy in up to one-third of cases, and may represent the second most frequent cause. And there are a variety of other viruses that have also been implicated less commonly.
What about the other options?
Yeah, the differential of acute facial palsy is broad, although this seems like a classic case of Bell's. Lyme disease can cause unilateral or bilateral facial palsies. And in endemic areas, over 10% of cases of facial palsy are likely due to Lyme disease. Facial palsy that is often bilateral occurs in sarcoidosis and in Guillain-Barré syndrome. Leprosy frequently involves the facial nerve, and facial neuropathy may also occur in diabetes, connective tissue diseases, including Sjogren's and amyloidosis. Beyond that, depending on the patient and the rest of the history, you should think about things like cerebral infarcts or demyelinating lesions in MS and even pontine tumors. The question mentioned cerebral neoplasm, so I'll just highlight that acoustic neuromas frequently do involve the facial nerve by local compression.
Okay, well, this is a two-part question, so let's keep moving on. The next question asks, which of the following is the next most reasonable therapeutic step? A, focused muscle electrical stimulation. B, IV immunoglobulin infusion. C, L-DOPA therapy. D, prednisone. Or E, valacyclovir.
Usually in an uncomplicated case, you can advise symptomatic measures such as like using paper tape to depress the upper eyelid during sleep and just to prevent corneal drying. Or you can suggest artificial tears or massage of the weakened muscles.
Yeah, but those were not choices I gave you, Kathy.
All right, fair enough. So of the answer choices, the best one to go with would be D, which is a short course of prednisone. So as I mentioned before, acute Bell's palsy, there's inflammation of the facial nerve with mononuclear cells. So a course of glucocorticoids given as prednisone 60 to 80 milligrams daily during the first 5 days and then tapered usually over the next 5 days modestly shortens the recovery period and improves the functional outcome. Although large and well-controlled randomized trials found no added benefit of the antiviral agents, valacyclovir or acyclovir, compared with glucocorticoids alone, some earlier data suggests a combination therapy with prednisone plus valacyclovir might be marginally better than prednisone alone, especially in patients who have severe clinical presentations. For patients with permanent paralysis from Bell's palsy, a number of cosmetic surgical procedures have been used to restore a relatively symmetric appearance to the face. But the best answer choice listed is prednisone.
Okay, so today's teaching points are that Bell's palsy manifests as an acute facial paralysis due to inflammation of the facial nerve. It likely represents reactivation of virus such as HSV or VZV, although you have to think of Lyme disease in endemic areas. No other workup is necessary in typical cases, and treatment is symptomatic with the consideration of a short course of prednisone, which may hasten recovery.
This will conclude the episode. Thanks for tuning in. If you like what you hear, please leave a comment and subscribe. Thank you. This will conclude the episode. Thanks for tuning in. If you like what you hear, please leave a comment and subscribe. Thank you.